You're listening to
Sex Gets Real.
Sex Gets Real.
Sex Gets Real.
Sex Gets Real.
With Dawn Sarah.
With Dawn Sarah.
Thanks. Bye.
Happy holidays, listeners. Welcome to this week's episode. I am your host, Dawn Sarah. No matter what faith or non-faith you have, it's hard to deny that this episode, dropping on December 24th, smack dab in the middle of all the big holidays that happen. So between Hanukkah and Kwanzaa, Christmas and solstice and New Year's, there's a lot going on right now. So I just wanted to take a quick minute to wish you and yours a very happy holidays. I hope that it's a season that's full of fun and joy and sexiness and seeing people that you really care about. And if that's not your story and the holidays are a tough time for you for a variety of reasons, as they can be for so many of us, I hope that you find spaces that feel safe and welcoming, and at a minimum that you get to drink some warm hot chocolate or eggnog and be in your slippers and pajamas. So I will be spending the holidays in Calgary with my in-laws and extended family on that side. It will be a high of minus 17 degrees Celsius. I hope nothing freezes off. We shall see. I also wanted to let you know that this week's episode features Jo Ellen Naughty. She has been on the show before, and she just released her 2017 favorite things on her blog. And I thought that would be a super fun conversation for us to have as we kind of look towards the end of 2017 and moving into 2018. If you want to hear my favorite things of 2017, anyone who supports at any level over on Patreon is going to get access to a little bonus 15-minute episode that I did on my favorite things of 2017. So you can head to patreon.com/sexgetsreal. You can't search for it because my content's considered adult, and Patreon, like all the other websites in the world, like to cock block me. So you actually have to type the URL in patreon.com/sexgetsreal to find the show. If you support at any level, you'll get access to that little bonus content. So I hope you will check it out. And also thank you to all of you who already support. So this week's episode, Jo Ellen Naughty is back. For those of you who haven't heard Jo Ellen on the show before, she is a writer, speaker, researcher, and mental health advocate whose work explores the impact of depression on sex and relationships. Since 2012, she's written about sex, mental health, and how none of us are broken on her award-winning site, The Redhead Bedhead. Jo Ellen's spoken at tons of universities and conferences, and she's currently writing her first book, The Monster Under the Bed, Sex, Depression, and the Conversations We Aren't Having. So here is me and Jo Ellen talking about our favorite things and then fielding a few of your questions. Welcome back to the show, Jo Ellen. I am so excited to have you here to talk about your favorite things of 2017.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. When I saw your post, I immediately thought, like, now that is going to be a fun way to kind of wrap up the year on the show, is to come and, like, have you talk about toys and experiences and books. So thank you for saying yes.
Oh, I'm so excited to do it.
You've had two roundup posts this month. One is your Jo Ellen's 2017 favorite things, which includes products and books and companies, and then this really wonderful thing that you call the big one. And then you also did a roundup of all of the posts and appearances that you've made throughout the year that you really wanted to highlight. And I thought it would just be fun to kind of hear some of your favorite things and share a few of mine and just give people listening a chance to also reflect on maybe what some of their 2017 favorite things are. So, okay, we have to talk about your favorite products.
Yeah.
Because we know that you love wands.
Yes. And I feel like this was the year I decided to, like, stop even pretending. that I might like anything else. I think this year I just accepted a whole lot less products for review. In fact, even LaWand, which is one of the products that's on my favorite things list, I took under duress. Mm. If you read my review of it, I was offered LaWand. I didn't really want it. They sent it to me. I hated it. They sent me a second one. I still hated it. They sent me the third one, which was the second version of the toy. And that was when I came around on it. So really, it was like a bad rom-com with all of the bad messages about, like, pursue somebody until they like, come around.
Yeah.
It just happened to work. Yeah.
Yeah. So what was so different between the earlier versions and the version that finally made you say, like, okay, now I can get behind this?
I feel so bad for LaWand because I keep kind of like really ripping on them when I explain this. The first one was basically just kind of a prettied up knockoff of toys that already existed. It had the exact same number of speeds and settings, and it just was like, it was like a rechargeable wand that already exists, but, you know, pretty. And it was so loud.
Oh.
It was so loud. Like, I live in a big apartment building that was, you know, put up fast and cheap. And I was self-conscious about using it here. So loud. So loud. That's and amazing. So that was how the second one came to me. They saw it. I did an Instagram post where I was like, folks, this is weird, right? This is so loud. So they sent me a second one. And the second one, like, the premise was, like, we think something's wrong with that one you have now. And admittedly, the second one was marginally quieter, but not quieter enough that I wanted to write about it.
Yeah.
Now, then version two happened. And version two had a big difference. One, it was actually quieter, though I would still take the toy quieter. Because it gets louder when you press down on it, which I feel like is like saying, like, hey, everybody, I'm masturbating.
I'm really close now.
But it has 10 individual steady vibration patterns, which, you know, if you ask most people who are into especially like wand type things, steady vibration patterns are where it's at, right? The things where it's like, I don't know, masturbate to the pattern of Edelweiss. I don't know anybody who loves those.
No. I was just talking about that with Kate Kenfield the other day of like, no, just give it to me.
I've never been like, I finally found one that goes to the tune of You Shook Me All Night Long. Like, it's never been the patterns. It's always, I want options where it stays steady. And so this has the option. You can do, you know, up and down through 10, or you can hold it down and just glide through all the steady settings. And that to me was enough of a difference that it won me over. And it also had a travel lock.
Oh.
Yeah. So it arrived right before I went to Woodhull this year, and I was standing there with it and another rechargeable wand that I love in my hand, and I realized that LaWand had a travel lock and the other one didn't.
Hmm.
And I put LaWand in my bag because I could lock it for travel.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
I like that feature.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, Doxy, you have a love affair with.
I do.
For people who are curious, can you tell them a little bit about why you love Doxy so much?
God, it's getting embarrassing. So Doxy came into existence because you can't get the, you know, the famed original magic wand, aka the Hitachi, in England. Europe, right? And so the Doxy was made, the Doxy wand. And it's fabulous. It's this, you know, plug-in, high-powered wand. And so they made the original one. I know I got my first one in 2014. And it had a soft head and a hard plastic body. And it's very powerful. It's a bit rumblier than the Hitachi. I always say, I think of it in terms of tone. Like if the Hitachi was a tenor, the Doxy would be a bass.
Ah, yeah.
Right? Then they just kind of kept making them like fancier and like more intense. So then they made like a steel one, and then they made the steel ones in gorgeous colors. And then this year they made a small one. I keep calling it the baby Doxy, and that's not its name. It's the Doxy number 3. And what it is, you know, I have to admit, as much as I love giant wands and I love broad stimulation and I love all the power, I have to tone it down sometimes and remember that that's not a thing for everybody.
Yeah.
And I was actually in a shop last spring and they didn't carry the Doxies and I was aghast. And they talked about how they were just too big. They were just too big and too powerful and the whole thing. And I knew that the Doxy 3 was coming. And I was like, what if I told you a little Doxy was coming? And the owner's eyebrow shot up.
Oh.
And she was like, tell me more. And I actually didn't know more at the time. So I couldn't. But I got the Doxy 3 in August. And when they first gave it to me, I was actually not wowed. I was like, this isn't as strong as... I made the bad toy reviewer mistake. Where I was like, this is less strong than the thing I like, so it's worse. It's not as good.
Yeah.
That is not right. That is incorrect. God, it's got so many things going for it. It's got a head you can screw off.
Ooh.
Yeah. So you can actually take the head off to wash it, which with plug-in wands, you know, you can't run them under a faucet.
Yeah.
So it's pretty rad. I like it because I always hate when people make the, like, this toy is small and slips easily between bodies during sex. Because, like, any toy can be used during whatever. Yeah. All toys are couples toys. But I will admit that as a giant toy user, often when I want to use a toy with a partner, it turns into like, okay, doggy style it is, right?
Right. yep.
But I like the Doxy 3 because I'm able to use it while facing a partner because it is smaller.
Yeah.
It also... the size of the head, a wand came out a couple of years ago called the Palm Power Wand that a lot of us actually loved. I loved the Palm Power Wand. And it had these silicone heads that popped on and off. And they popped on and off really easily. And they popped on and off a little too easily. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of the problem. But the thing with the Doxy number 3, because the head screws off, it's got ridges. And you can take the Palm Power heads and put them on the Doxy.
Ooh.
And the ridges hold it in place. So it came to market with this set of heads that exist out in the world already that let you make a whole bunch of different, like, stimulation options for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's basically this neat, strong, powerful, smaller Doxy that fits in a purse that has attachments already existing, and when you put one of them on it, it looks like Louise Belcher, and it's great.
So for folks who need exactly that, now you know where to get it.
Exactly.
When you're putting together your list of favorite things, because you've got some wonderful things on here. I mean, books, of course, we have to say Elle Chase and Curvy Girl Sex.
Yes.
I loved having her on the show to talk about the book. And you dove into the amazing people doing so much work around sex and disability, which I'd love to talk about a little bit, and She Vibe. But, like, for you, what makes something make that list?
So I actually had a big transition last year around this list because for the first couple of years I had it, the first, I think, 3 years, it was literally just a list of toys. I used to review toys a lot. And I would just round up my, like, 10 favorite, and I'd have a list. And then last year, I noticed I was just reviewing a lot less, and the focus of my work had shifted significantly. And I thought, you know what, I'm not going to do that anymore. There's no reason. And I realized I was missing a tremendous opportunity because there were things out in the world I wanted to celebrate that had nothing to do with, like, what's the coolest vibrator out this year?
Yeah.
And so last year, I realized there were three companies that I thought were doing tremendous work. And there were a couple of, I think, books I lumped in with products last year. And I tossed in an idea. And, you know, I just took a moment to figure out when I thought about the year stuck out for me. What would I look back on that year and think, oh, yeah, that I discovered that year, and that was cool, and now I use that a lot, or now I think about that all the time. And I remember last year's list had a book called Sex from Scratch on it.
Mm.
And I quote Sex from Scratch all the time. And so that's kind of what puts something on the list. Is it something that I think moving forward is going to be part of my vernacular, something I'm going to recommend a lot. And that's kind of how it ends up on the list.
Yeah, I was so excited on last year's list to see the Butters and Sea Grape, which is a really small company so many people don't know about, but they make such amazing things.
Yeah.
And so this year, I know one of the company, or the company that you wanted to highlight was She Vibe. And so for people who aren't familiar with She Vibe, can you tell, I mean, a lot of people have probably seen their covers because they kind of superhero comic eyes, sex positive kind of leaders in the community, which you've been on a cover and Cooper Beckett. And so they might be familiar with the art piece, but can you tell us a little bit more about She Vibe?
So to drastically oversimplify the situation, She Vibe is an online sex shop, right? But like I said, that drastically oversimplifies it. They are, She Vibe is a tremendously sex positive company. And what is fascinating about it is you say that phrase and you get this picture in your head of what that means. And I don't know. I'm trying to find a way to put this that isn't insulting to other people or to, like, She Vibe to me feels so much, you know, I'm from a region that is, you know, where I grew up is not far from where She Vibe is based. So to me, it's, She Vibe is like if people in my family decided to start a sex positive company.
Hmm.
They're an incredibly accessible sex positive company, right? You don't feel like you have to have already known all of the cool sex positive stuff and the language and the whatever to be hip to what they're putting down at She Vibe, right?
Yeah.
Right. And what they do with the comics, to me, it's great because it draws people in.
Yes.
Right. And people who get there because, oh, that's the place that, you know, had Wonder Woman on their cover.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, a year later, they're talking about this cool thing with Jiz Lee, who they discovered because Jiz Lee was drawn in a comic. And, you know, it's what they do is so simple, but incredibly brilliant, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They do some amazing work. And I think you're so right. The power of their art that just feels so fun and inviting and accessible is such a powerful way to get people willing to maybe think about sex or talk about sex toys or share it with a partner who maybe would be turned off by a lot of the branding that we see with other sex toy companies because they're just like so overtly sexual.
Yep.
So yeah, yay for She Vibe being on your list. I think that's incredible.
And something She Vibe does and does tremendously is they listen to input without being drawn into without being drawn into, without a better way to put this, the screaming. Right? So there can be a lot of, like, turning on a dime, like, this company sucks and we all hate them now.
Yeah.
And She Vibe takes a very measured approach to, okay, well, let's look at what's going on. Has this company done a terrible thing? Is, okay, let's look at why that's bad. Let's, yeah. My favorite story for them from them actually appears in the post, and it's about lube. And they were talking to us at an event. We were all at dinner, and they were talking about how they were carrying this lube. And I talked about how it had actually kind of burned me, like literally physically burned me, because of an ingredient that I don't do well with. And there had been a brilliant session on lube at that conference that we were all at. Sarah Mueller from Smitten Kitten.
Yep.
Amazing.
Amazing.
And the people who had gone to it were explaining this ingredient and why it could do this. And Sandra and Thor from She Vibe were listening. And by the time we were done, Thor was on his phone getting the lube off the website. Because it, like, he took in what we said and said, okay, we don't want part of that.
Yeah.
We don't want to be carrying that.
Yeah. That's awesome. And so important, you know, to just be responsive to people and to be willing to take in input like that. Like, that to me is just such a great sign of not only smart business, but also people who are truly invested in community and conversations.
Yeah.
Yeah, which we need in this world.
Yeah, it's true.
Are you looking for a wonderful last-minute gift to surprise a lover or a partner? Or maybe are you looking for a way to kick off 2018 with some new skills and tidbits and goodies? If you head to dawnsarah.com/courses... you can see all of the courses and activities that I have available. They're on demand and available online right now. From the hands-down workshop about ethical pornography and how you can use porn to connect in your relationship, to my Anal 101 workshop all about anal. Or if you're just looking for new ways to connect with a partner, there's a relationship charter workbook, my sex mapping game, which is one of my favorite things to offer clients, and several other fun, juicy, connecting options. So head to dawnsarah.com/courses and check it out. So are there any other of your favorite things you want us to touch on before we talk about some of your brilliant posts?
I do want to visit the sex and disability.
Oh, please do.
Because, oh my goodness, so much amazing work is happening. When I first started talking to people, that I did like a professional coaching session in 2013, and I mentioned the idea of like sex and depression to the person I was talking to, and they said, write about that, because nobody's writing about that. Like, do it. And I was afraid to do it, and I thought it maybe wasn't sexy enough, and I wanted to be sexier.
Yeah.
And I was super hesitant. And early that next year, a couple of us submitted a panel about it to a conference, and we got turned down, like, and not nicely either.
Oh.
Yeah. There was a time not super long ago where these were conversations that, like, you could legitimately say were not happening. And now I look around and there are so many people having conversations about making our sex education accessible and understanding that people are going to have different needs, and that's important, and we can't ignore that. And having conversations that I always reference Kristen Schultz from Chronic Sex as somebody who writes posts that I always look at and go, oh my God, why didn't I think to write about that? Jesus, that's brilliant. There's just some great, smart, engaging work going on right now. That's so exciting to see.
It is, and it's so important too, because anybody who does any kind of teaching or writing about sex knows that the majority of the questions we get come down to, am I broken or am I wrong?
Yep.
And to have people who are not only like sharing their stories and writing about accessibility, but just making it normal and acceptable to say, my body doesn't do these positions, and here's these really great, interesting things that we can do to make sex more accessible and to make conversations easier. And I mean, you're right. There's just so many incredible people who are doing really wonderful work in this space. And like, even for people who don't have visible or physical mm-hmm. disabilities now, to just know, like, if something happens or when something happens or as I age or as I put on weight or mm-hmm. whatever it is, there's people out there who are going to be able to just help ease that transition or that new body or that new experience. It's so important.
Yeah, I think a thing that, you know, when I first came to Sex Positive World, as it were, I came here as somebody who felt like an outsider, you know, previously, just from lack of knowledge, from feeling like an awkward person, from believing for most of my life that I was like not attractive enough or whatever. And I was somebody who, you know, except for every couple of years when my spine stopped working and, you know, when depression kicked up, I for most of my life pass as able-bodied. Mm-hmm. To understand that there are people navigating this who don't have that privilege at all.
Yeah.
And our world, our medical community, and, and our world in general has this horrible habit of just deciding that those people don't have sexualities.
Right.
And
that they shouldn't even be visible because they won't even be able to get into our spaces.
Yeah. Yeah. And the... you and I have talked before. We did a great episode on sex positivity versus sex performativity.
Yes.
And when spaces are all like, woo, look how sexy I am, woo, and they feel like they don't have room for anything that isn't like, I am conventionally attractive and, you know, rocking a bikini and dancing half naked up on a banquette, it can be incredibly scary.
Yeah.
So to have all of these spaces opening up, even that are just people talking about like, yes, I have an ostomy bag and mm-hmm. I have really good sex. Let's talk about that. Or yeah. Andrew Gerza and I had a great conversation about how when he started, he was committed to saying like, I'm disabled and I have sex and it's hot. Sex and disability is hot. He's like, and then I came around and realized, no, I really actually need to be honest about the fact that sometimes it really sucks.
Yeah.
And that to me was like, it was so exciting to hear him say that because I feel like that's what the sex positive world in general has had to do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love the discomfort and the awkwardness and the willingness to say, like, sometimes I don't know what I'm doing and sometimes this sucks and sometimes people reject me, or often people reject me because of my body, and like, but we still are going to have this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, we need that so much in so many spaces, because you're right, like, you know, for so long the sex positive worlds and the kinky worlds were all about like, hey, look at us over here being super sexy. And it was kind of the over the top conventional Hollywood version
yep.
of all the things. And there were so many people being left behind. And so now to start seeing more people being able to actually take up that space and say like, sometimes sex hurts and sometimes I don't want to do it. And sometimes it sucks because my body doesn't do the thing, or my chair can't get into the munch, or whatever. You know, I mean, like, these are the kinds of conversations that actually make it easier for us to have meaningful relationships and to feel okay in our bodies and like, more, please.
When I look around, I'm actually starting to feel like it's a bit passé to have the sex columnist who's always like in the booty shorts and crop top talking about like her super sexy weekends that she has every weekend. And, it's funny because I have a very specific magazine in my head right now that is still doing this and it's killing me. But, I think that like, whenever I see that, I'm like, really? Really? You're still doing that? Because I feel like the rest of us have turned this corner to, like, this more real person place, mm-hmm. which I hate when we say real versus not real, because everybody's real. But this more relatable place where yeah. everybody gets to admit that, yeah, sometimes I walk down the street and I feel super hot. And then sometimes I take like a month or two where I want no one to look at me at all.
Yeah. 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 So speaking of that phrase, like real people, because we're all real people, you also just released your best of posts and podcasts and appearances, which included your interview with Tristan Taramino on Sex Out Loud and a whole bunch of really awesome things that you've created over the year. And one of the things that just like jumped out at me and kind of is in this same like real person type phrase is stop calling these things porn for women.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God. I loved it so much. And we see this all the time. And so like, I will of course link to all the things we're talking about, but like, I love that you finally named this thing where we as a culture are kind of like, oh, look at this like man vacuuming porn for women.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, like Pinterest porn for women. And of course you've got a picture of like red soled shoes and like porn for women and kind of how you're like, actually porn is like naked people doing sex. And the rest of the things are just pandering to this gender essentialism mm-hmm. that basically says like women find basically all of these like somewhat superficial things to be porn because women couldn't possibly actually like porn, right? And so like, oh my God, I love this so much. And where did this come from?
Honestly, I why did I get so annoyed about this? I will tell you, I will admit very openly, because this is something I also got up on a high horse about talking about while I was writing my favorite things post this year. This was a sponsored post this year because there's a big belief in our industry that if somebody is paying you to write, they are somehow dictating what you write.
Yeah.
Actually, that's where this came from. So I was approached by a company that was, and I will admit openly, this was a company that later in the year got in a lot of trouble for taking people's work unethically.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yes.
I did not know any of this at the time. However, they were, their whole thing was they wanted to provide porn for women. Mm-hmm. And I kind of hated that they were saying that anyway.
Yeah.
Because what the hell does that even mean?
Right.
And that's where I started from. I started from my annoyance at them for using the phrase porn for women. And I have a really long history with that. I was a director my first career. I was a theater director. And my college professor, one of his like most successful students ever, had graduated from, I think, NYU, and gone off to direct feminist porn. And our friends in college didn't understand this. They would get so angry. They'd say, like, that's ridiculous. Porn's not the place to be, like, marching around with signs and yelling about women's rights.
Oh.
And I remember saying to them, like, you don't understand what that means. And having a whole argument about, like, porn where women aren't just, like, a hole.
Right.
And I meant for this post to kind of be about that. And then I kind of started poking around the internet and seeing what people were calling porn for women and getting angrier and angrier.
Yeah. Yep.
And seeing like any meme with Ryan Gosling was porn for women. And like Ryan Gosling's great, but you know, Ryan Gosling saying any sentence that starts with the word girl isn't going to make me have an orgasm.
Right.
Ryan Gosling using a vibrator on me might make me have an orgasm.
Might. It depends on how he's using it.
It might just make me go, Ryan Gosling, hand me the vibrator.
Right.
And that's kind of how this it was like this giant snowball where I meant to say one thing and realized the world was more ridiculous about this topic than I thought it was. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, and just, yes. I mean, like, I could fill an entire hour just talking about, like, the way we categorize porn on mainstream porn sites.
Yeah.
And the whole porn for women category is definitely one of those places where I have a few thoughts. But, like, I'm just so happy that you named this thing around just, like, romantic comedies and men doing household chores and men holding babies. I mean, it's just so, it's just, like, feeds the toxic masculinity myths, and it feeds the emotional labor that women are required to do, and, like, also just takes away that, like, why wouldn't someone of any gender enjoy, like, super hardcore, rough porn? And why wouldn't someone of any gender potentially also love, like, really sweet, tender, soft porn? And, you know, I mean, it's just like, ah! So that was one of my favorites from your list.
Well, and, you know, it's, so there's another post further down the list called Here's the Thing About Porn Sex Versus Real Sex.
Yes.
And it actually kind of grows a bit out of the same myth that, like, men want sex, and women want, like, rings and babies and have maybe heard of sex.
Yeah.
And I think this is what makes us arrive at the, like, well, that's what happens in porn. But in real life, people don't do that. People do, I don't know, things that don't happen in porn, I guess.
Yeah.
And that always makes me super uncomfortable because, well, A, the deal with porn is that they're actually having sex.
Right.
So it's real sex. Like, A. And B, I hate saying anything ever that's going to other people who are listening to it.
Yeah.
And frankly, C, I'm one of the people who's being othered when you're like, that thing that happens in porn never happens in real sex. Right. I'm always like, well, actually...
Yeah. Of course, porn is edited and color corrected, and there's multiple takes. And so, like, there is this element of entertainment and manipulation happening. But the sex we see are the human beings having the sex, you know, and, like, there's lights and people around, and maybe that's not happening in your bedroom. And obviously what's also happening in your life has context, which often porn doesn't have context. But I really like what you're pointing out about just, like, the real sex thing. Well, what even is real sex? It's anything that has, that's sexy for you and feels like sex.
Yeah. Like, when people, cause, like, it's important to understand, yes, people who, porn performers are basically sexual athletes.
Yeah.
They can accomplish things that most likely your, you know, general average person on any given day probably can't do. And that's okay, right? And generally it's not a good idea to go for no warm-up anal the way you see it in porn, right?
Right.
And most of us can't squirt across a room the way you see it in porn. However, if I see another, you know, bustle Jezebel dame whatever article being like, and that thing in porn where somebody comes on somebody else, what the hell is that? I'm gonna just, like, scream at somebody because I'm like, that's sex, okay?
Right.
I understand that that's not sex the way you have it, snarky lady, but that's some people's sex.
Yep.
Because they're out there, those lists where they're like 10 things in porn that never happen in real sex. And then you open it expecting it to be like, you know, the pizza guy suddenly drops trow. And actually it's things like 18 positions in one night. And I'm like, I mean, sometimes you move a lot.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Totally agree. And so the next time somebody publishes one of those, when we hear everything got burned down, we know it was because Joelle and Reddit got really mad.
It's me being like, listen, not only do people come on each other, but we need a name for that.
Fact. And it's okay if you're the person who likes that.
It's one of my goals for 2018 is to have an official name for that act.
Oh, I like
yes,
it.
Yes, like a year and a half ago, I ran this idea by Kate Kenfield, and I believe she floated frosting.
Yep.
As the name.
Yeah.
So,
I really kind of like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm just going to give you a good frosting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, action oriented and sounds sweet, so good for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I have a frosting fetish. You say it and it doesn't sound, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Because you say it to people and they're like, oh, you mean bukkake? And I'm like,
No.
So not what I mean.
Not that. That's something else.
That's different.
Right.
Totally its own thing.
Yes. So before we hopped on, we were just kind of talking a little bit about, because of course you've been working on your book, The Monster Under the Bed, which is all about sex and depression and the conversations that we're not having. And you write so much in such beautiful ways around managing life with depression and experiencing sex when you have depression, and also partnering with people who are experiencing depression. And you had mentioned that like one of the things you've really just been sitting in is when it comes to being in relationships with when one or more people have depression, that one of the things that can really come up is this resentment. And, you know, resentment is something that I work with couples around in so many different ways. And it's such a toxic thing to have in any kind of connection with any kind of human, is when we have that underlying resentment and we don't know what that's what it is, it can just be corrosive. And I would love to hear what you've just kind of been thinking about and chewing on as you kind of think about relationships and depression and kind of what this resentment is.
So as I've been working on the book and writing articles and things, kind of the pattern I noticed was that almost everything I was recommending seemed to be ways to take care of each other and yourselves and the relationship that were custom built to avoid resentment. Mm. And what really made this click for me was somebody entered my life who was in recovery. And I don't even remember what situation we were dealing with, but they were talking about something and they proposed that we deal with something up front because, in their words, it, you know, letting it go would plant seeds for resentment later. Something just clicked in me and I went, oh my God. Oh my God, that's what this whole thing is about.
Yep.
This thing, you know, depression that we look at as this relationship killer, it's not the nature of depression. Yes, a lot of like horrible things come with depression, but you know, I see it in my own relationship. My partner has now been with me through two depressive episodes, and what I've seen is like our big, you know, let's have a talks all come when I say like, okay, we've got to talk because I think that, you know, you're going to start being angry at me soon if, you know, we don't talk about this, or I'm starting to get all, you know, resentful about this, so let's talk about it now. And it's all about not letting resentment build up in the relationship.
Yeah.
And when I look at my marriage, I had a marriage that ended, and I often say that a lot of what was wrong with that relationship was that it was built around not understanding depression, not understanding what depression does to relationships, to people, just any of it. And I now still, it's hard writing the book. It's hard talking about it in the book because there's so much resentment around the way we handled things and didn't handle things. And it sounds so hokey to say this, but like, I'm starting to think that resentment is the actual monster under the bed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, there's, and I think what's so interesting is resentment kind of shows up in these little ways that are pretty easy to dismiss. You know, like sometimes when we get just a little passive aggressive, what's underneath that is some kind of need's not getting met, or we feel like we can't ask or say something, something didn't go our way. And when we just kind of sit on it without acknowledging it, it kind of goes into like our little like bucket of resentment, you know, and we just have these moments where they come up in a variety of situations around, I thought life would be different, mm-hmm. or I didn't realize I would have to compromise this much, or I never asked for that thing I wanted to, and now I feel like I can't, you know, and those little things just start creating this space where like resentment starts taking up more and more space and driving more of our behavior. And when we don't know that's what it's doing, it just becomes insidious, and it becomes almost impossible to create connection when you just reach a certain level of resentment.
It's a problem when you're dealing with something like depression in a relationship, because you get these situations where the partner with the depression feels like they can't ask to have a need met because they're already asking for so much because of, you know, their illness, or the partner without depression feels like they can't ask to have a need met because their partner's already dealing with depression, and their resentment starts to build based on the things they feel like they're not allowed to do. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of what I talk about in the book is just strategy for getting partners on the same team.
Yeah.
Because so much of what's out there right now in terms of like books and stuff for navigating this, A, is like 20 years old. I don't know why this topic hasn't been written about in so long, but it hasn't. And B, partially as a function of it all being like 20 years old, comes at it from a very like, so your partner has depression, here's how you protect yourself from that.
Yeah.
Place. And so it divides a couple. And what do you do when you want to conquer people? You divide them.
Right.
Right. And so I want to bring couples together and put depression on the opposite team.
Yep.
Yeah. And just to clarify, that doesn't mean you're going to defeat the depression. It might always be there.
It's, right.
You know, I had to say to somebody the other day, when I call my depression chronic, I don't mean it in a Snoop Dogg kind of way.
Yeah. It's just always going to have a seat at the table, or potentially could always have a seat at the table. And when you're on that team, you can just find ways to navigate it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you heard about O School? It's this fantastic new online space that's creating shame-free, pleasure-based sex education through live streaming and moderated chat. You can learn about sex and pleasure, join a diverse community, and share your own experiences. And the best part is, I am one of their pleasure professionals. I'll be live streaming on the evening of December 29th. From 3 to 5 p.m. Pacific, and starting in January, every single Wednesday afternoon, I will be doing live streams with O School, all about pop culture. From 6 to 8 p.m. Pacific, Wednesdays, starting in January, you can hear all about John Hughes films, Ryan Gosling, Game of Thrones, Twilight, pegging and pop culture, and Bachelor Nation. We're going to pick apart love, romance, and what it all means in our lives. So check out O School now. It's free. I would love to shift gears. There was a listener question that piqued your interest a little bit when I was going over the possibilities. And so if you're up for it, I would love to roll around in this question with you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it comes from someone that says, Sam, aka Am I Weird? Subject line, I don't know if I'm weird or not. I need help. And the message says, Hey, Dawn, I just started binge listening to you, and I'm only on episode 98. I can't stop. I may have an addiction. I love this show. I also don't know if you've discussed this or not, but I have an issue. I don't like being penetrated. I'm 20 years old. I'm a lesbian, and I don't know if I'm weird or not. I don't like being touched or even touching myself underneath my panties. I've had a couple of girls finger me, but not for too long, and usually I have them tie me up so that I won't stop them. Don't get me wrong, I love sex. I love my face being ridden. I love fingering a girl. I love eating girls out. I love being super fucking submissive. I like being tied down and spanked and flogged and smacked around. But I have an issue when it comes to my pussy. It's gotten to the point where I tell girls that I get off by the pain, which I do sometimes, but still. is there something that I should just get out of my comfort zone, or should I leave it alone? I feel weird about it, but I just kind of can't get over this. It's a block, I guess. Thanks for listening, Sam. What are your thoughts?
Okay. First of all, Sam, you are not weird.
Yep.
I guess my first question is always when people ask me, like, how do I fix this thing about myself? Like, do you want to?
Yeah.
Like, are you okay with, because if you're okay with just not wanting to be penetrated, like if you woke up tomorrow and nobody ever wanted to penetrate you, if you woke up tomorrow and were told that you could for the rest of your life have all the sex you wanted and everybody would just leave your pussy the hell alone, would that be cool? Like, would you be excited about that? Because if the answer is yes, then I don't think you need to do anything.
Right.
I kind of want to get you like a pair of panties that are just like, that just have like a do not enter sign on.
No go.
Because if that's a boundary for you, that's legit.
Yeah.
I will tell you, I actually felt kind of guilty the other day because I sent one of my partners an email that was almost yelly. Because while I love penetration, I hate hands on me in any way, shape, or form. And he was talking about, like, manual stimulation, and I was like, no, just no, stop it, bad. So it's always okay to have those boundaries if that's your boundary. Yep. If it's a no-go, it is a no-go. If it is something you think you want to ultimately change, that gets a little more complicated because it becomes about exploring whether it's a physical thing, like is it a vulvar pain type of thing, or is it an emotional mental block?
Right.
And that's when I feel like you start seeing like doctors and things. Mm-hmm. Do you agree with that?
Well, yeah, and I also think, you know, just like culturally speaking, we're taught that our pussies are dirty and disgusting and should be hidden at all times and no one should ever touch them. And if someone touches you down there, it's bad, you know? And so from like the youngest of ages, if you're born with a vulva, it can be so easy to internalize that like our pussy is a place that just like, it's weird and gross and bad and a violation if someone touches us there. And so,
but also it's not real sex.
Right.
Unless we get penetrated there. God, I hate the world.
Yeah, let's just hold that for a second. So, you know, like, I think you're so right. I mean, if this is a thing of, I don't really care, I don't really want to touch my pussy, I don't really want to be penetrated, but like everyone around me is saying I should, that's one of those things where it's exactly what you said of like, just set the boundary. And like, you probably will encounter people who are like, well, I've never heard of that. Well, too fucking bad. This is my thing and my body. And if you can deal with it, great. If you can't, then guess what? You don't get to experience my amazing skills. Mm-hmm. But like, I think that examining the why, if this is something that Sam wants to challenge, is like, what stories have you been told about your pussy? And what stories did you hear growing up about like who was allowed to touch it and what masturbation meant for girls? And, you know, I think just being curious about those stories might give some input. And like at a minimum, just knowing you're not broken, you're not doing it wrong, you get to feel however you feel about your body. And it really is up to Sam to decide how much time and energy she wants to put into like trying new things and getting curious. And maybe there's certain contexts where it's a little less weird than others. But again, that's by no means something you have to do. It's only if you feel like that's a fun adventure for you.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, don't let worrying that you're doing sex wrong ruin the sex you enjoy.
Right. Exactly. Because like one of the things I love about this email is like Sam listed like 10 things that she loves doing. So like do those things you love doing. And, you know, it's like exactly like you said, like for me, I love hands. Like, I love hand sex. I love fingering. I love being grabbed and held. And for you, Joellen, you're like, fuck you. Get your hands off me. Neither one of us is better or wrong or weird. Or it's just like how we exist in our bodies. And so, you know, some people feel weird about their asses being touched. And like, it might genuinely be because it just isn't enjoyable. Or it might be because they've internalized some of the messages we get culturally about what it means to have your ass touched. And so, like, why wouldn't the same be true for how you feel about your pussy? Yeah. You know, it's just like we're surrounded by these fucked up, confusing messages. And also, Sam is 20. So
yeah,
there's lots of time to have changing a relationship with your body and have new experiences. And like right now, it might be the grossest thing ever. But who knows, in like 5, 10, 20 years, you might be like, penetrate me with all the things.
It's true. Yeah. When I was 20,
When
I was 20, I hadn't figured anything out.
Right. Exactly. And it sounds like Sam's figured out some stuff.
So much more than I have figured out then.
Yes. I would not have known what a submissive was or that it was okay to eat girls out at 20. So, you know, yeah. Hey, Sam.
You're doing great.
You're doing great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you for writing in with this question, for letting us geek out about it. And yeah, just like ask yourself some questions about where you are and then let that just be the answer, even if other people don't understand it, which is inevitable in any situation in our culture. But you do you, and that's good enough.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I got one other email from someone named Megan who wants to know if she's using a bullet vibe wrong. Would you help me answer it?
Absolutely.
Okay, because, you know, since you've reviewed so many toys, I thought you might be a great person to have on this one. So Megan writes, is there a wrong way to use a bullet? My meta was talking to me about not really enjoying them in her because she prefers clitoral stimulation. Aren't bullets intended for clitoral use? I have bullet buddies and the works and have always enjoyed using them on my clit. But now I'm wondering, am I doing this wrong? How many ways can you use a bullet? Megan.
I would only ever use one clitorally, mm-hmm. But also I'm also a big toy person, so bullets aren't really part of my jam. I think there are very few I would try to use internally because they tend to be super small.
Yeah.
There is a part of me that's wondering if there also might be a little confusion on the definition of bullet happening here, because there are those bigger smoothie vibes that are also confusingly bullet shaped. Do you know what I mean? Those plastic ones.
Yep.
Yeah. So I would not say anyone is using a bullet wrong in this scenario, but I recommend them for clitoral stimulation. Don't let anyone shove one in their butt.
Right.
And other than that, I think you're good.
Right. I agree. Yeah, they do make vibrating butt plugs that look a little bit like a bullet with a flared base. Like B-Vibe does that. But yes, please don't put anything in a butt that doesn't have a flared base or a big handle.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree. Like, I've used bullets many times in the past. I actually don't have any right now. But in the past, I have... You know, and for me, the bullets I always used had kind of the cord down to a handheld control.
Just forget about those.
Right. Yeah. This was like early 90s. And, you know, so I would use the bullet mostly on my clitoris, but every once in a while I would slide it inside and then use my hands on myself because it had the cord, so then I could just retrieve it. But I think as long as you're doing things that are safe for your body... you can kind of use toys however the hell you want to. I mean, who's to say you can't use any of your toys as a massager or on your nipples or, you know, whatevs. So
I use bullet vibes to clear my sinuses when I get colds.
How do you do that?
Oh my God. I'll send you there's a post on my site called, Lube in My Hair, Sex Geek Life Hacks. And there's a tutorial on using a bullet vibe to clear your sinuses.
Look at that.
Yeah.
See, now we're all going to have to go check that out because that sounds like a pretty awesome life hack.
Yeah, I learned it from Krista Ann.
Ah, yep.
Yeah.
Yes. So, Megan, bullets. I think you do you, and your meta does whatever they do. And I mean, it might be kind of cool if your meta was like, I prefer clitoral stimulation, and you know, my bullet doesn't offer that. Why not have a conversation of like, oh, I use bullets for that. I'd love to see your toy and just like learn more. I mean, if you want to have that kind of a conversation, but I don't think anybody's doing it wrong. So if that's how she uses it and or how they are using it and how it feels for them, then like they get to do it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Joellen, would you tell everybody how they can stay in touch with you and find you online? Because, of course, I'm going to link to like a bajillion things that we've talked about today. But just in case someone's listening and they don't have time to go click the links, where can they find you?
You can find me at my site, redheadbedhead.com. And you can find me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, basically all the social medias at Joellen Naughty. JoellenNotte.
Yay!
Yay!
Thank you so much for doing this with me and helping us to just kind of hear some of your favorites from 2017. I'm hoping everyone will listen and then let me know what their favorites for 2017 yes. were, because you inspired this. So thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're so welcome. And to everybody listening, if you want to share your favorites of 2017, your favorite books, your favorite toys, of course, feel free to comment on social media and or write to me with any questions or feedback. I will be sharing some of my favorites for 2017 with Patreon supporters of the show. So if you go to patreon.com/sexgetsreal and support the show at any level, you'll get access to a few of my favorites for the year. Thank you so much, Joellen, for being here. And to everybody listening, I hope you have a wonderful week of holiday season stuff. And I will talk to you soon.
P.S. Don't forget that I love hearing from you. I have some incredible educators lined up over the next couple of weeks. Folks from O School who are doing live streaming, along with me, Andre Shakti, and Kate Kenfield, plus authors, thought leaders, YouTubers, and I want your questions so that I can roll around in exactly what you need help with all of these incredible people. So head to sexgetsreal.com. There's a contact page where you can send in your question and stories and comments. You can do it anonymously too if you're shy or you don't want to let anybody know who you are. So please head there. It's like a Christmas present every single time I get one of your emails. I love hearing from you. Thanks for listening.